Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. Thanks for downloading us and tuning in. iHeart or RadioMD.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual, with the news of the week, but much more importantly, what it means to you. Our story one, can a cheap and widely available TB, that's tuberculosis vaccine, help diabetics? We wouldn't be mentioning it if it didn't. Childhood herpes virus from roseola, that's the sixth disease. Those are herpes viruses 6 and 7. Herpes viruses don't always cause mouth sores or other diseases. They cause a lot of others. Well, this one, it looks like reactivation of it, like reactivation of chickenpox causes shingles, or reactivation of roseola may be linked with Alzheimer's decades later. Decades later. What's happening to my enunciation today? Anyway, is it time to get another vaccine for you and your kids, such as a roseola vaccine? We'll talk about that. Key, and you probably don't have one. Key marijuana drug approval looks like it's going through as cannabis goes mainstream. Why is what the drug company is doing a problem for the USA? Yeah, they expect 1,300 kids with epilepsy to cough up $1 billion a year, or their insurance companies to cough up $1 billion a year in total. Divide that by 1,300. You find the treatment is like $700,000 a year. No doubt epilepsy is a severe problem. But $700,000 a year? Maybe they should just smoke marijuana. We'll come back to that as well. Sleep apnea treatment tied to improved sex life, better erections for men, and increased orgasmic joy for women? That's what it looks like. So if you got sleep apnea, good thing to get it treated. Many adult survivors of childhood cancer are unconcerned about health despite triple risk of chronic disease from treatments. Triple the risk of chronic disease. And what protections do flight attendants need? They have 50% higher rates of all cancers in general, maybe 2 to 4 on some. What's a doo-doo? What can we do about it? Stop already. Paternal smoking is linked to miscarriage risk. That is, not only are husbands and wives who smoke at risk of their kids not developing as well, having decreased mental function, having a whole bunch of congenital defects, but in addition, they may not have kids at all because of the miscarriage risk. And maybe that's a good thing. And who are the 23% of Americans who get enough general and resistance exercise? And the top story, emotional responsiveness is key to the science of happy relationships. That's emotional responsiveness. Think about that. Emotional responsiveness, being emotionally responsive to a person, is key to that person and you having a happy relationship. And it's got to go both ways. Let's go through these stories in a little more detail so that you can understand what they mean to you and how to take advantage of them. The first story, childhood herpes viruses 6 and 7 are linked to Alzheimer's disease. No, it's roseola, benign disease. You don't even get vaccinated. We don't even have a vaccine for it, at least not yet. But Alzheimer's patients have an increase in activity of herpes virus 6 and 7 in the areas of the brain that are affected by Alzheimer's disease. So maybe one of the therapies should be to see if a vaccine, or vaccine even given after you've had it, just like we give shingles to prevent the reactivation of the chickenpox virus, maybe we could give a roseola vaccine to all of us, because 90% of Americans and of the world's kids have roseola. It's called sixth disease. It's a fever and a rash, nothing big. But maybe you could get lifelong protection against reactivation and prevent Alzheimer's disease. That's the big news on this one. So stay tuned. you'll see something about it. And the next story is about, and by the way, there is no vaccine for this. We're going to have to develop one. And there are a couple companies that are really hot on developing new vaccines like Inovia. So we may see that, in the very near future. The next story is about a very interesting subject. Could the polio virus help treat brain cancer? Yes, vaccines are the shining example, probably, of how using bad bugs to do good. And this is the story with polio vaccines. So this was 61 people who have trained another virus to target cancer by using polio to target brain cancers. That is, the polio vaccine, if you will, has been engineered to target a difficult brain cancer known as glioblastoma. What does that mean? It's attracted, this virus is attracted to glioblastoma cells. And among a group of 61 people who failed to respond to current therapies, which included radiation and surgery and chemotherapy, 21% who received the polio vaccine treatment were alive after 3 years, compared to 4% who didn't. So, a little randomized trial, not a big one, giving polio vaccine with this targeting increased the number of survivors from 4% to 21%, not a cure-all, but a start of a new area. What does it mean for you? Well, it means that these new immune therapies that you're hearing about for cancers are making some breakthroughs. There are some that are routine practice now. We call them the CART, if you will, set of therapies. But there will be more and more, the guess is, as we now use your immune system to fight your cancer in aggressive and new ways. Excuse me. Does this mean cancer's going away? No. But it does mean we're really improving on a lot of things in treating cancer, and this is one of the ways we're doing it. Another, AI hospital software knows who's going to fall. So a company, Oventus, has developed a tool that predicts and can tell the nurses in advance who's going to fall. Well, you'd say, this is the common good. It should be available to all. No, they're selling it at a high price. They use a bunch of variables on the patient, so the patient or the nurse of the patient enters a bunch of variables on the patient, and they tell you the chance that this patient will fall. They want to charge the hospital and maybe the patient. Obviously, the patient has to pay for it. And this is a big problem. 700,000 hospitalized patients fall each year. And falls and the fractures that occur cost a total of $50 billion. The average fall adds 6.3 days to a hospital stay. These are amazing numbers, isn't it? Aren't they? In any case, Oventus, O-V-E-N-T-U-S, I guess you could invest in them. My guess is, though, that the algorithms will get pretty well known pretty fast, and I'm not sure their software will last. The data will probably come pretty soon, and we'll all learn how to prevent it.
Hopefully.
Very inexpensively. And talking about inexpensive, tuberculosis vaccination is very cheap. It's called BCG or Calmette-Guerin and Bacillus Calmette-Guerin is BCG for Calmette-Guerin and Bacillus is the B. And it does prevent tuberculosis, in some cases bladder cancer. And now they're finding it decreases the blood sugar requirements, the insulin requirements of type 1 diabetics by decreasing their blood sugars. Why it does it, what the mechanism is, isn't clear. It does not cause damaged pancreatic cells to regenerate, which is what they first thought it might do. It changes the way the body metabolizes sugar, and it does so safely. So this appears to be in some people, about 40% of the children with type 1 diabetes who it's been tried on in, and this is out of Boston Children's Hospital, it's been tried on 52 diabetics who've gotten this vaccination. There's some people who are very skeptical about it. That only means it's an unusual treatment, but it's done by a very good group of vaccinators. Next story is about vaping. Is the new smoking? Is that a good thing? No. An hour in a hookah parlor is about equivalent to your smoking between 16 and 21 cigarettes yourself. Vaping may lead people to smoke more. So I would talk to your kids about not vaping. About 7.5 million adults vape, and 12% of high schoolers say they vape, many using Juul. These are, we think, a bad thing as a entry drug to, vaping, to smoking more. Tobacco, we're down at a very low level now. We'll talk about that because the data comes up next year, and the data comes up next week, I think, on the smoking rates for the last year. And the early indication is they're going to show, the early indication from a few of the states that have reported is they're going to show a decrease to around 14% in the United States if the, those states hold for the whole country. Amazing change going from 42% in 1960 to 14% now. We need to go to 0%. And if we're this slow at going and changing food and physical activity and stress level habits, we will be bankrupt as a country and have more income inequality and social disruption. So our prayer is that we're able to do many of the other changes sooner. A cannabinoid drug that stops epilepsy, and it's only, it's not all kinds of epilepsy. It's a rare kind of childhood epilepsy where other drugs don't work. It's about 1,300 of them now. Pharmaceutical firm has spent 20 years developing medicines from marijuana, is going to charge enough from this that their estimate, I mean, this is hard to believe, it's only 1,300 kids, their estimate is that it's going to be a $1 billion drug. It does work. It is beneficial. But that's a little too much. That means $700,000 or $800,000 per year's worth of the drug per year for each kid. Whew, that's a high price tag. And what it may do is drive the family members and the insurance companies to say, just smoke it or do the edibles and accept the side effects. But that's what's going on. Next story of the week and what it should mean to you. What it should mean to you is I don't know other than to say these drugs are extremely expensive to test. I don't know how they're going to make $1 billion a year on it. And I applaud them for showing in a randomized controlled fashion in the set number of studies that require that it does work. It at controlling this rare form of childhood epilepsy, not controlled by other drugs. But there's got to be a better way, less expensive way of doing this. Next story is on, and if you've got any more thoughts, send us some questions about it at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. The next story is on sleep apnea and orgasmic joy in women, erection quality in men. Yes, This is our Wellness Foreplay story of the week. Sleep apnea treatment was tied to improved sex life and better lubrication. And that's what this study of 182 men and women with newly diagnosed sleep apnea had. They were prescribed nighttime treatment with masks. By the way, there are a lot of other treatments for sleep apnea. One that where it uses your cell phone and an implanted electrode to detect when you're not breathing adequately and stimulates your, the hypoglossal nerve under your chin where the little implanted, it's kind of like a ring electrode, only it's really a tiny ring. It's like the ring around a pen tip. That's implanted around the nerve. It stimulates that nerve a little bit. It tightens your muscles so you don't have a lack of a tight jaw. It keeps your nerves in your muscles in your throat tight, if you will, and that if you will allows you to have I guess it allows a better airway so that you don't have sleep apnea, which, of course, in this study allows better sex. So what could be better than sleeping better and having great sex at the same time, which is what this treatment does. Now, the other treatments for sleep apnea that are new, I told you about the one with a ring around the hypoglossal nerve. Well, there's also one that measures your oxygen level in your finger, stimulates your thumb a little bit. You jar a little bit awake enough to keep the airway open and keep your, and bring your oxygen level up. And it stimulates you more and more the lower your oxygen goes. So it gets you up enough to have a decent airway and not develop a low oxygen level, which could threaten you if you had sleep apnea. So these are a number of other benefits. And, of course, whether it's these or CPAP, that machine that you put the mask on with, they have numerous health benefits in men and women and should be encouraged even if you consider you've got a great sex life already. Next, it turns out that about a third of childhood cancer survivors don't do anything about their health other than know they've had a cancer, meaning they don't do anything to prevent future problems. And it turns out that these people are between 2 and 4 times at increased risk for chronic disease because of their childhood cancer treatments. And so that's pretty significant increase. So if you survive a cancer in childhood or any time in life, you should, in fact, do more activity, meaning take control and avoid toxins like tobacco and BPA, BPS. Exercise, manage stress, do meditation morning and night, and do the 4 forms of physical activity, as well as do all those other things about sleep and getting the right Fab 8 plus 5 supplements now, etc., to get healthy. So that's, if I was going to say, our pearl of the day for this You, the Owner's Manual radio show from the data is those 31% are at real risk of getting another disease, and probably many others don't worry about it. One of the things they shouldn't do is become a flight attendant, because flight attendants, their union has agreed to participate with Harvard in this study of flight attendant risk from cancer, and flight attendants have have a 50% increased risk of overall of cancer and between 2 and 4-fold increase of some of the cancers. 51%, for example, higher breast cancer, 2-fold higher prevalence of melanoma, 4-fold higher prevalence of non-melanoma skin cancers. In any case, the point is, we think it's due to the ionizing radiation that is much stronger up above the atmosphere than it is below. than it is basically at Earth's surface. Will sunblock prevent it? I don't know. There's no data on what will prevent it. One thing that the European Union says, flight attendants who are pregnant shouldn't fly because of this exposure to their kids. So there must be some data on increased risk of not only of miscarriage or fetal abnormalities as well. There is also obviously concern about the crazy sleep-wake cycles. Who knows whether it's that and the melatonin changes that, since melatonin is an anti-cancer, has anti-cancer properties, but melatonin secretion will be irregular in these in-flight attendants who change time zones. So this is mainly on, this study was mainly of flight attendants who flew intercontinental, that is the large planes over long distances, had this increased risk of cancer. Implied in here is the increased risk of childhood abnormalities. Their children develop childhood abnormalities. Screening for fractures, that is osteoporosis screening, reaffirmed again this week by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and in men over 65. Screen and get treated if you are. Worst comes to worst, do 40 jumps a day. Everyone should be doing 40 jumps a day like I am. I got my jump rope out every morning. I get it out and do more than 40 jumps. But 40 jumps should be the minimum, 20 in the morning, 20 in the evening, to strengthen your bones. It's one of the best things at strengthening hip and spine bones and lengthening the discs, or increasing the size and sponginess of your discs, keeping them viable. Remember, do it before it's too late to do it. Check with your doc if you're over the age of 50 or have low back pain before you do it. Next story of the week and what it means to you is story about who in America gets enough exercise. You think you get enough? Well, it should be 10,000 steps a day plus 30 minutes of weightlifting divided in two sessions a week, plus 20 minutes three times a week of cardio, plus that 40 jumps a day. But the U.S. Preventive Services says we'll be satisfied if you do 75 minutes of vigorous activity a week, plus or 150 minutes of moderate plus muscle strengthening exercises twice a week. Who does that? 23% of Americans age 18 to 64 do it. And who are they? They're the people working in managerial or professional positions, are more likely than individuals in production roles, such as assembly and manufacturing. Colorado leads with about a third of its citizens doing it. And guess what state is last? They're near Colorado, but they're called Mississippi. That is right. Mississippi is lowest and obviously has the highest health costs of any state in the nation. So do exercise, eat healthy, avoid toxins, manage stress. The science behind happy relationships, now I don't know how they determine this, but it turns out that emotional responsiveness is the key. And to foster this, the between partners, there is emotional focus therapy in which couples learn to bond through having conversations that express needs and avoid criticism. Couples, the article goes on to say, need to learn how to talk about feelings in ways that bring the other person closer, and that's what they mean by emotional responsiveness. Emotional disengagement can easily happen in any relationship when couples are not doing things that create positivity. When that happens, people just don't feel like they're moving together. They feel like they're moving further and further apart until they don't even know each other separately. So one place to start is compliment your partner every day. Find something to compliment, especially your appreciation for something they've done, or telling them specifically what you love about them. The exercise can accomplish two beneficial things. First, it validates your partner and helps them feel good about themselves. And second, it helps to remind you why you chose that partner in the first place. So compliment your partner every day about something. I'm lucky enough to be married to a wonderful woman, Nancy, and I do compliment her every day because she deserves it, and I'm lucky to be married to her. I know that she doesn't listen to these, so I can say this without worry that anything will get back to her, but she is absolutely sensational. I'd probably compliment her more if she listened to this, but that's okay. Paternal smoking is linked to miscarriage. That's our last study of the day. Would-be fathers increase their partner's risk of miscarriage by smoking during pregnancy or even during the time leading up to conception. A large study of over 600,000 births in, actually it's over 6 million births in China showed, if you smoked before you got pregnant, 18% increase risk of miscarriage. So, key studies, key data from today. I want to remind people, think about roseola, and maybe we should get a vaccine for it, just like we do for shingles. Stay out of long-distance aircraft if you're pregnant. And remember emotional responsiveness. Compliment your partner every day, and it'll make you and your partner happier. Thanks very much for listening. This is You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. This has been Podcast 899. 899, we're almost at 900. Next week will be 900. 899A. Thanks again for downloading us. Do rate us every day, every week. And remember, you can take charge of your health and stay at the top of your curve. Thanks again, Darian, for engineering, and you for downloading us.